Good morning, church. This is a very special occasion for me to be here with you this morning, kind of under the new normal. I want to give a shout out to those who are participating. No matter where you are, in the comfort of your home, enjoying yourself a little bit, welcome. In the kind of the new normal, I hope and pray that you have been dwelling in the Lord's presence and His protection. This morning, the church has selected a passage from Psalm 96, as the text for the sermon, and I give a title, "Let the World Hear His Voice," because the overall theme of the seasons of the church right now is around the area of missions. So we're going to look at Psalm 96 through the lens of mission. You may ask, why missions? Let's go back to the main thing of what constitutes the mandate of the church. And keep that main thing the main thing. What is the main thing, you may ask? If not the Great Commission itself. You recall that at the end of the book of Matthew, chapter 28, the last few verses, the Bible said, Jesus commanded the 11, and He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations," or better translation, all ethnicities, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." In this passage of the Great Commission, you notice that there are actually four participles or verbs. Yeah? They are, as you can see from the screen, go, disciple, baptize, and teach. Now, my own take of the Great Commission is that it represents the four key core mandates of the church. When we talk about go, it means mission endeavor. When we talk about disciple, we talk about life transformation. When we talk about baptism, we're not talking about a rite per se, that you only do it once in your life, in your Christian life. No, it is a process of being incorporated through union with Christ and building a spiritual community. Last but not the least, teach, representing a lifelong commitment to learning. But if you look at these four so-called verbs or participles, you notice that there is only one main verb in this great commandment, and that is disciple. In other words, going, baptizing, and teachings are participles that are designed to point to that main goal, and that is to disciple. This is kind of the organic process that helps new believers growing up and being mature to be followers of Christ. And that's why I like the word disciple shaping, not disciple making. Making sounds like a factory process, but shaping is about our life growing up and being mature. But you may ask that if the Great Commission is so important because they represent, these four aspects represent the key mandates of the church, why then sometimes it is not taken seriously, at least within the younger generation? You see, in this study from Barna in the States, it said that almost half of the practicing Christian millennials say evangelism is wrong. But hey, wait a second. You just said mission, but now you turn to evangelism. For me, I don't see the difference between the two. We just make the difference because of the way we want to mobilize our ministry. Mission is mission. Across the street, around the globe. But coming back to this particular finding, how come half of the practicing Christians, millennial in particular, say evangelism is wrong? And Bartner, in other research, further points out there may be two reasons why that is the case. The first one, I call it the reason of apathy. The reason of apathy. In other words, I don't care. Right? Christians are reluctant to discuss their faith. Why? Perhaps in the multicultural setting society in the post-Christian era, with secularization right now dominating the social agenda, this is perhaps the attitude that permeates in our generation. They shy away from discussing their faith. In other words, they're saying, I know what I know, but I don't want to talk about it. Right? I know what I know, but I don't want to talk about it. But the second reason, in another research partner said, and this is even more interesting, in the U.S., 51% of churchgoers, 51% of the churchgoers don't know of the term the Great Commission. Christians are reluctant to discuss the faith because they are innocent or ignorant. Right? And then basically they're saying, hey, I don't know what I don't know. How do you expect me to talk about it? The first one, I know what I know. The second one, I don't know what I don't know. It's kind of sad because these two erosive attitudes are stifling our church's endeavor, desire, and engagement to fulfill the Great Commission mandate of missions and discipling. I don't know and I don't care. So today, let's get back to our basic. Let's talk about what missions is all about. And Psalm 96 is a perfect text. Why? Let me borrow the great English preacher, Spurgeon. He calls Psalm 96 a great missionary hymn. A great missionary hymn. And when I look at this psalm through the lens of mission, it talks at least about four dimensions of missions. Four dimensions of mission. It talks about the motivation of missions. It talks about actions of missions. It talks about the reason for conducting missions. And last but not the least is certainly the effects or the consequences of missions. So let's take a look at each one of them. First, the motivation of missions. Right out of the gate, the Psalm 96 said, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord a new song. The term new song is not only recorded in the book, in the Psalm 96, it actually showed up in many Psalms, 33, 40, 96, 98, 144, and 149 to boot. But more importantly, it shows up in Isaiah 42. But more importantly, it shows up at the very end of the Bible in Revelation. In the end, we still sing the new song. You see, new song is not just merely a song that has never been sung before. It carries a deeper meaning. It carries a deeper meaning from the perspective of biblical theology. That said, of course, it represents a freshness in our praise of the Lord. The song, Shout to the Lord, I did ask the church to sing this song this morning, but somehow maybe my email did not get to the worship team. Darlene Shuchak came out with this song, Shout to the Lord. I mean, you can kind of hum it with yourself a little bit. She came out of this song by reading Psalm 96. That's kind of the inspiration of coming up with a new song, totally inspired by the majesty, by the grandeur of the Lord. But as I said, a new song is not just a song that is new in biblical theology. A new song represents a brand new, a completely different, a totally transformed beginning. Let me repeat one more time. A new song represents a brand new, completely different, totally transformed beginning. It is a new chapter. Why? For the Lord reigns and He is victorious. Indeed, it is a new epoch. So as a result, when we sing a new song, we sing a new song because we are completely made new and transformed in Christ, as Paul articulated so well here. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old has gone, the new has come. And the transformation goes through a long process. I call it the 4R process. It starts off with our repentance in the Lord. And then it leads to reconciliation with God. Last time when I was here, you certainly don't remember. I remember because this is a very interesting opportunity. This year I preached not that many times, but a few times. But last time was the time that I sort of preached live, and that was in this church back in March. I remember very clearly the text was Romans chapter 5, verses 1 to 11. Paul started, "For we attain peace with God in Christ." And then towards the end of that section, verses 11, Paul talked about peace meaning reconciliation with God. Like a bookend. Repentance leads to reconciliation, and reconciliation leads to our renewal in life, and renewal leads us to revival. Very often the church talks about revival, but we don't pay attention to the need for repentance, for the need to come forward and beg forgiveness from the Lord and to be reconciled with the Lord. Revival comes from repentance. Reconciliation, renewal. And only through revival comes inner transformation. You see, this is the kind of the process, this is the kind of motivation. Once we are transformed, we experience that something new and then we sing the new song. People don't engage in mission, partly because they don't know, partly because they don't care. But I would suggest to you, people don't engage in mission mostly because there is no inner motivation that comes from the transformation of our lives. So mission is not just about doing. Mission is about our being. When we sing a new song, it is because we have experienced the newness ourselves. And when we sing the new song, we say, let the world hear His voice. First dimension in Psalm 96 about mission is mission's motivation. The second dimension is about the actions of mission. When we continue to read the first three verses of Psalm 96, we notice the psalmist uses six imperatives to bring out his point. Now, for those of you who study marketing, you may be familiar with what we call the sixth imperative for marketing. The psalmist does not talk about marketing, but he's kind of talking about marketing a little bit from the perspective of mission. It talks about the actions of mission. The Bible says, sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise His name. Proclaim His salvation day after day. Declare His glory among the nations, His marvelous deeds among all people. Among all people. These six imperatives, the psalm talked about, and you can see it, and I highlighted it in red. Sing, 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 then praise, proclaim, and declare. When we talk about missions, our first response needs to be acting, sharing the gospel. That tends to be our kind of way of understanding mission, right? But no, that's not what Psalm 96 said. The Bible talks about first action of mission being singing and praising. Being singing and praising. And you may ask, why would the psalmist place singing and praising before proclamation and declaration? Let me borrow a perspective from a great preacher, someone you know, John Piper, to explain the important key concept of this priority of putting worship, singing, before proclamation. John Piper said, mission is not the ultimate goal of the church, even though that is the mandate. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Let me repeat one more time. Mission is not the ultimate goal of the church, according to John Piper. Worship is. Mission exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not mission. Why? Because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will cease. Missions will be no more. It is temporarily necessary. But worship abides forever. We are engaged in missions across the street and around the globe because these are the places where people do not worship God. Where people do not worship God. Now, I want to stay here and kind of make a point that when we read the psalm, when the psalm expresses singing as worship, worship is not just simply about singing. Worship is about total commitment and total transformation to the Lord. Yes, singing is part of it. Like today, we started our worship with what I call holy songs. Now we're worshiping the Lord with the holy word. Later on, I understand we're going to worship the Lord with holy communion. But when we leave the physical building of the church, we continue our worship with a life that leads us to holiness, a life of sanctification. In my understanding, that is why. That is why John Piper talks about worship abides forever. It is not a single act. It is not just simply singing. Although the psalmist uses singing to symbolize our worship. And if we accept this particular perspective, then two actions make sense. These two actions make sense. In the engagement of missions, we start worshiping in the land of the unbelief. We start worshiping in the land of sinful people. And then we proclaim. And then we declare. What are we proclaiming and declaring? The psalm continues to say, we proclaim his salvation day after day, and we declare his glory among the nations and his marvelous deeds among all people. Let the world hear his voice. The first dimension of psalm is about motivation of mission. Second dimension is about the actions of mission. The third dimension is about the reasons for mission. As we continue to read from Psalm 96, verses 4 to the first part of verse 10. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. He is to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, all you families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his court. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. Say among the nations, the Lord reigns. In this section of the psalm, the psalmist identifies in my mind at least three reasons to engage in mission. Reason number one is to reveal his glory, to reveal God's glory in the land of the lost. In verse 7 and 8, we can see the term ascribe. And earlier on, we sing the song. And that is from 96 as well, Psalm 96 as well. Ascribe, and we see it shows up three times. What does it mean to ascribe? It means that returning to God what is his in the first place. In an all too familiar passage that we know about, Paul points out in Romans 3:23, For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Sin takes away glory of God. Mission declare to sin the glory of God, that we need to ascribe back to God what is his in the first place. In the midst of the unbelief, God's glory was deprived because of sin. And mission is to point out clearly the sinfulness of man and to reveal God's glory and to ascribe to him that glory of his in the first place. The second reason in engaging mission is because of what I call spiritual poverty of the land of unbelief. Spiritual poverty of the land of unbelief. Spiritual poverty leads to a sense of what I call spiritual emptiness. And that emptiness leads to worshipping idol. As you can see in this particular section of the psalm, for all the gods of the nation, Psalm said, are idols. The word idol means literally worthless, has no worth, totally insignificant, being portrayed sometimes in a very contemptuous way as a non-entity. It's nothing. It's nothing. But we worship nothingness. Why? Because there's an emptiness that has been brought about by our sinful nature and our behaviors and our lifestyle. Mission changed all that. It changes all that. It completely altered the spiritual landscape from emptiness to God's richness. From emptiness to God's richness. Sinfulness brings emptiness. God's salvation brings his richness. His richness of his grace, mercy, and abundance. The third reason in engaging mission is to sing among the nations, to say among the nations, the Lord reigns. The Lord reigns. The Lord reigns showed up in many places of the psalm. I put it down here. It shows up mostly between Psalm 90 to 100. It represents Yahweh's sovereignty and his victory. That he reigns. He is the king. Pandemic or no pandemic, sinfulness or unbelief, our God reigns, the Lord reigns. And mission is to declare that victory of the Lord. And this is how you may have come across this gentleman, Bonhoeffer, and how he derived his strength when he was captured and imprisoned by the Nazis. Bruce Waltke and James Houston, in his book back in 2019, talking about the Psalms, and they comment on Psalm 96, and they drew out a writing from Bonhoeffer. And he said that, they said that Bonhoeffer recognized that Psalm 96, together with 97, 98, 110, 148 to 150, he recognized that these are psalms for final victory of God. These are psalms of final victory of God. In prison camp, awaiting his execution and daily contemplating the psalms. This psalm, in particular, 96, helped him celebrate the time when the redeemed people of God will reign with him eternally, when the power of evil will fall and God alone will rule. Let me repeat, the time when the redeemed people of God will reign with him eternally, when the powers of evil will fade and God alone will rule. Glory of God, ascribing to him the glory. Spiritual poverty, eliminating worshipping of idols. Singing and declaring sovereignty and victory of the Lord. These are the three reasons that Psalm 96 has identified. And these are also the reasons that I have come across when I conduct interview with second generation full-time Chinese missionary. This is kind of the new project. I got two projects going on right now. This is one of them. That Ambassador for Christ in U.S., not the one in Canada, but the one in U.S., wanted to partner with me in conducting a major study, and we call it Obedient to the Call. And Obedient to the Call is trying to understand, not just simply CBC, Canadian born, not just simply ABC, American born, but North American-born Chinese missionary, really trying to understand their calling and why they become obedient to engage in more full-time mission. So this is kind of looking their journey from the call to the field. And when I talk to a few of them, the meaning or the reason for the engagement in mission is very clear. Let me give you three quotes from Mary and Henry. These are not their real name, of course. I go to mission because there is a very clear spiritual poverty that exists in the world. Mary's right now is in Asia, but she spent a lot of time previously in Spain, in Latin America. In fact, she went to Latin America when she was in high school every summer. And after university, she spent a lot of time there. She saw not only physical poverty, but spiritual poverty that motivated her in bringing God's message in their midst. The next one, Henry. Henry right now is in Indonesia. And if you know Indonesia, that has the biggest population of Muslim per capita in the world. And Henry was so motivated because he sees worshipping of idols. And he's so motivated to tell them that idols are nothing. Idols are emptiness. Idols are worthless. And at the end, they all say, the Lord will reign. God will reign. Let the world hear his voice. So the first dimension of mission in 96 is about motivation. Second one is about actions. The third one is about reasons. The last one is about the consequences of mission. And we continue to read from this psalm, verses 10b, the second part of verse 10, to the end of it, verse 13. The Bible said, the world is firmly established. It cannot be moved. He will judge the peoples with equity. Let the heavens rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in them. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy. Let all the creation rejoices before the Lord, for he comes. And I would add, let the world hear his voice. He comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world in righteousness and the people in his faithfulness. When we engage in mission, two very clear effects or consequences are identified through our reading of Psalm 96. The first one is that the wicked will be judged. The wicked will be judged. In this section of the psalm, the word judge shows up four times. Who will be judged? The earth, the world, the peoples, the whole things. The world is under the attack of the pandemic, and yet we hear God so loved the world. And that love goes through a condemnation and a judgment in order for it to be restored. The whole world is under his judgment. And yet the second outcome is very clear. The world will be redeemed and in a sense recreated through Jesus Christ's salvation. And out of this salvation, hope and joy are restored. And this is clearly expressed through the sixth appearance of the word let. Let. And if you add my, let the whole world, let the world hear his voice, you may add seven. Right? Let the heaven rejoice. Let the earth be glad. Let the sea resound and all that is in it. Let the fields be jubilant and everything in it. Let all the trees of the forest sing for joy and let all creation rejoice before the Lord. There's a sense of expectation. There's a sense of celebration. There's a sense of joy. There's a sense of hope that was not there when they were worshiping idol. And God brings that hope through Jesus Christ, his Son, who died for us on the cross. And that, my friends, my brothers and sisters, are the consequences when we declare God reigns. The whole world participates in the celebration of the arrival of the Lord's redemption and its rebirth and recreation. Let the world hear his voice. To close up, Psalm 96 is a grand missionary hymn, for it talks about missions, the motivation of missions, the actions of missions, the reasons for missions, and the consequences or effects of mission. At the beginning of the sermon, I talked about the core mandate of the church is to go, to disciple, to baptize, and to teach. How do we take up the task in fulfilling the Great Commission then? May this psalm give us a firm foundation in taking up the identity, in taking up the identity of the ambassador for Christ. Not the organization that I partner with, but the very honorable identity and the mandate we must bear, and that is Christ's ambassador. Paul said it well in 2 Corinthians 5:20, we are therefore Christ's ambassador. That is an identity that God has entrusted us to fulfill his great commission. As we end the sermon and head back to the world, so to speak, let me provide you with two questions for reflection. Two questions for reflections. If mission comes from life renewal and transformation, experiencing the newness of the Lord and life, how do we devote ourselves in seeking that transformation? How do we devote ourselves in seeking that transformation? And if missions is about bringing worship of the Lord to the whole world and all ethnicities, how do we commit ourselves to mission across the street and around the globe? May the Lord continue to strengthen us, motivate us, so that we do not become those two groups of people, apathy, ignorant or innocent, that we say, I don't care and I don't know. Psalm 96 is clear. Psalm 96 is clear. It's all about mission. Let us pray. Father God, we want to thank you for giving us the opportunity to come to you and read the Psalm 96. And thank you for revealing to us what really motivates us. It's not so much because we know about the need or we know how to do it, but really there's an inner desire, an inner motivation that comes out of our transformation that we experience in Jesus Christ our Lord. So, Father, we come to you and ask you to continue to transform us, motivate us, and help us to commit to mission, especially in the next little while when the church is putting mission as the theme, not only through preaching, but also through their actions and promotion. May you remind us how critically important it is to follow you and fulfill that mandate of the church and to engage in missions and the Great Commission. Thank you, Father. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.